Hi, this is Todd Friel, Executive Director of Fortis Institute. Perhaps you've noticed Christians aren't looked upon as favorably as we once were, and we're determined to not retreat in the face of persecution, taunting, legislation that makes life harder for Christians to speak the Bible. I'd like to invite you to join us in our Spring Matching Gift Campaign. No retreat. We are determined to stand firm, and we are inviting you to stand firm with us. We will continue to make as many and more resources as we currently do because we are determined to see our King exalted. And if that matches your heartbeat, would you kindly consider joining us as a gospel partner? Your gift is doubled right now. You can learn more and join us at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Masters University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transform. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and today we are talking about psychedelics and PTSD, which has been somewhat of a buzzword as of the past couple of weeks. Some of you have been keeping up with President Trump's executive order to expedite research into psychedelic drugs for the sake of PTSD, and that's what I'll cover today. I want to get you the details on what exactly happened back in April, but then I also want to help you think biblically about what that means. You know, as a believer, are you ever encouraged to take mind-altering drugs? And if so, when? If not, when not? When not? When not, dear? When should you not do that? And stay in school and learn English. That's part of what you're probably wondering right now. If you're just joining us, I have started almost every episode by saying thank you. So many of you have taken a second here or there to rate Transformed, and I'm so grateful. At Fortis, we're watching the episodes continue to get out there further and further. And I tell you, I have fielded probably close to 20 emails just about the missions and biblical counseling stuff alone. So I hope that you'll take a second and rate us and help others find the content that we're doing here. Okay, to today's episode in particular, psychedelics have come back into the news as of late. They've really been speculative for many years. In fact, in 2024, there was a FDA denial of an ecstasy-based pill that was used for therapy. But what happened recently is Joe Rogan, he is a podcaster, MMA, military advocate. Apparently, he texted President Trump and he said, we need to fast track this research for psychedelics and the connection to PTSD. If you guys want to go down a rabbit hole, you can do that by going and looking at Joe Rogan's podcast. And apparently it was a Texas governor or senator who is investing a lot of money into this research to use psychedelics for the sake of PTSD. So the Wall Street Journal said that President Trump signed an executive order in April that seeks to fast-track research into certain psychedelic drugs, including LSD and Ibogaine, which some veterans have used to treat their post-traumatic stress disorder. LSD and Ibogaine, those are psychedelics. You have historically had to go down to Mexico to get Ibogaine, and it has been considered to be a very dangerous drug, and I'll give you some of the reasons why. So they're illegal. You can't pursue those here, and those that have had a difficult enough time with post-traumatic stress disorder are going to Mexico to get help with that. So Joe Rogan texts the president and says, hey, we need to fix this. And apparently, and I wasn't in on the text thread, but apparently the president said, sounds great. Do you want FDA approval? Let's do it. That was reported by the Wall Street Journal. The FDA is currently expected to issue 3 national priority vouchers for psychedelics, which would allow the drugs to be approved within weeks, according to Dr. Marty Makary, Commissioner of the Food and Drug Administration. Now, when you hear that, I'm sure many of you are like, oh, goodness, this is not objective science. This is President Trump seemingly wanting to win veterans, which he should. I'm thankful as a veteran for veterans, but then also the voice of Joe Rogan and his support. Do you want FDA support? Let's do it. Well, in 2024, the FDA rejected ecstasy, and this pill I mentioned a second ago. In 2024, here is the reason for the rejection. So other companies chasing psychedelic drugs promise to help with debilitating mental health problems. They expect to continue their paths. But there needs to be more research. The thought was Lykos Therapeutics sought the approval, and according to this article dated August 9th, 2024 by the Wall Street Journal, that there was not enough research. In fact, there were greater questions. So this needs to be clear. This isn't a no, but this is a not yet, was the article at the time. Well, the reality is that what psychedelics do is they affect the chemistry of your brain in some way. You guys know I wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me. You know that I've tried to help you develop a theology of the brain and the mind. And that is very factual, that you can talk to a neuroscientist and say, hey, what is it that a psychedelic is doing? It's affecting the chemistry of your brain. As I was reading up to get prepared for today's podcast, I researched a little bit of what psychedelics do, and the best I could come up with were more like analogies. Sometimes I get lost in the terminology here, but Colorado University provided a helpful synopsis. This is from University of Colorado, Ann Schultz. And the title of the article is, This is Your Brain on Mushrooms. How does psychedelic-assisted therapy work? Obviously, that catches a person's attention. The article interviews a neuroscientist, and her name is, let me get it for you here, Jamie Peters. So Jamie Peters, neuroscientist, study of the brain, is consulted about the way that this affects you. All right, here is what she says, how the remolding unfolds, how psychedelics affect you. Psychedelics cross the blood-brain barrier either directly, like LSD, or indirectly, like psilocin, or converted active metabolite of psilocybin, the psychedelic component of magic mushrooms. Once inside the brain, the drugs target serotonin receptors, specifically 2A and 2C, enhancing sensory input and creating the hallucinations and strong sense of connection many users report. Like a tree given a miracle food that spurs rapid branch growth, neurons, brain cells supplied with a psychedelic boost sprout dendrites. The resulting branch-like network allows for novel connections, synapses with other neurons. This new formation of synapses between neurons happens at least in vitro, and there is some evidence this happens in vivo as well, Peter says. Okay, basically the entire argument is that what changes is the chemistry of your brain, and this affects neurotransmitters. So the hallucinogenic experience that one has while they're tripping on whatever psychedelic they have, that is rebooting their brain, and it's stimulating growth in the brain, is the hypothesis. This is obviously very speculative, but that's the thought. So why is it that some seem to have benefit from PTSD? It's because they've rebooted their brain, and these trips are not an attempt to get high. It's an attempt to restart your brain. That's the thought behind the science, at least. So the challenge is, biblically, that we have to start to work through a couple of major categories. I want to start by one of compassion and say, you know, if you're struggling with PTSD so much that you're willing to fly to Mexico to take a speculative medicine, Ibogaine, for the sake of finding relief, I think, first of all, we have to acknowledge like that's painful. And these are grown men. Like some of these are warriors. Some of these are tough guys that are looking for relief from the pain that they're facing. It doesn't mean that what they're doing is the right direction to go. And it doesn't mean that Ibogaine is the answer. But I think we can all say, look, that stinks. It stinks that someone is facing so much pain. I think we got to be honest about that, that the God of all comfort is who a person struggling with PTSD really needs. And finding comfort in these other places may not be helping. In fact, it may actually be making matters worse. So I don't want to be trite. I don't want to be harsh either. I want to recognize that, first of all, there are those that are suffering greatly, and they're just trying to find help. I also don't want to paint Joe Rogan in a nefarious light. I think he doesn't have a biblical anthropology, and he's thinking we need to help veterans, and psychedelics seem to provide a level of relief. Again, with President Trump, like at each level, I could say the same thing. I don't think that he nefariously is trying to hurt vets and doesn't want to see true healing. You don't know what you don't know. But the challenge is an anthropology. At the center of this entire debate on PTSD is an anthropological one. So let's do a little bit of zooming out, and then I'll turn it over to Jimmy. Zoom out with me for a minute. Anthropologically, who are we as people? Are you your outer man only? When I say your outer man, I mean your flesh, the organs of your body. Is that all that you are? Do you see yourself as a brain on a stick? Are you the result of what your brain does? Neuroscience, serotonin, synapses, all of those are the cumulative effect or cumulative reason for why you do what you do. If you're not careful, you take a naturalistic perspective to this and you say, look, PTSD is an outer man phenomenon. So what do we need to do? Fix the outer man. The reality is that PTSD may not be an outer man phenomenon. So what's happening? You're addressing your body and you're not thinking about, you're not considering, and you're not addressing the inner man. Biblically, your thoughts do not come from your brain. Your thoughts come from your mind. Let's take a short break. When we come back, I'll pick up with the thought, what is the difference between the mind and brain, and where do your thoughts come from?
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment, who's working through psychedelics, PTSD, and the difference between the mind and the brain. You know, this is the kind of information that Dr. Gifford teaches each and every day at the Masters University, where he trains the next generation of biblical counselors. So the world is telling you you're just a brain on a stick. If you fix the chemistry, then you're going to fix yourself. But Dr. Gifford is teaching much more than that at the Masters University, because Scripture teaches that you're more than just a brain on a stick. You're a body and a soul, and an outer man and an inner man, and a mind that's different from gray matter inside your skull. What Dr. Gifford is doing is training counselors who understand that distinction. And they're not handing out prescriptions like secular therapists. No, they're preparing men and women to actually think about the human person the way God designed it. If you are looking to go back to school, if you know a high school senior looking for their next step in life, I can't commend the Masters University enough. You can get the conversation started right now at masters.edu/manhood. And while you're out there on the internet, don't forget about downloading Fortis Plus. You can do that at fortisplus.org, or you can go to the App Store where you download apps on your smartphone or your smart TV. All of the content that we're creating here at Fortis Institute is distributed through Fortis Plus, and it is all absolutely free of charge. Nothing that we do has a price tag to it. Go to fortisplus.org to see exactly what I'm talking about. Now, let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford. This is Transform. Welcome back to Transform.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back. Thank you so much, Jimmy, for your resources. It's an honor to work with you, bro. I'm guessing by now you guys have signed up for Fortis Plus. If you haven't, I am personally deeply offended by that. back to today's particular topic, the idea of psychedelics have been really prominent here lately because Joe Rogan texted President Trump and said, we need to expedite this for the sake of our veterans. So what that did is it kickstarts Trump's pressure on RFK Jr. and so forth and so on. So I left off last segment by saying, guys, look, let's get back to the basics for a second. Where do your thoughts come from? Biblically, your thoughts do not come from your brain. Biblically, your thoughts come from your mind. All right, let me give you a couple of passages. If you're taking notes or you're doing your best to refresh on some of this, I know Transformed a few years ago, I dropped episodes on the mind versus the brain. That turned into the book, Lies My Therapist Told Me. This should not be something new to you if you've been listening to Transform for a while. But if you're new to us, Genesis 6 verse 5 says, then Yahweh saw that the evil of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Have you ever paused to say, where do your thoughts come from? The Bible says that your thoughts do not come from your brain, they come from your heart. Naturalism says that your thoughts come from your brain. That is an unbiblical worldview. You can't be a naturalist and be a Christian. What do you believe God has saved if he hasn't saved your soul? So you can't be a naturalist and a Christian. Where does the Bible ascribe your thinking to take place? In your mind. Old Testament, leb, heart, mind can be used interchangeably. The thoughts and intentions of the heart can be translated as the mind. Either way, it is the immaterial inner person. Guys, where do thoughts come from? The immaterial inner person. That's very clear. If that is not enough, Jesus is being questioned in the way that he heals. Matthew chapter 9, Mark 2, and Luke also capture this idea. Let me read for you from Matthew 9, and notice what Jesus does about the thoughts and where they come from. All right, verse 2, behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralytic, take courage, son, your sins are forgiven. And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, this man blasphemes. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, you ready for it? This is Matthew 9, verse 4. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why are you thinking evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? Guys, where are they thinking evil? In their hearts. Their heart is immaterial. If you're taking notes, if you're trying to track with the psychedelics and PTSD, Matthew 9:4, Genesis 6:5, Hebrews 4:12, each of those assign your thoughts to being within your inner person. So fundamentally, there is a misunderstanding that psychedelics are going to fix your thoughts. They're not going to fix your thoughts. A psychedelic can't fix your thought. You can't take a psychedelic and it changed the way that you think. That is not possible. In fact, if you are an unregenerate person, you have a mind that needs to be renewed and transformed. So the idea of transformation is at conversion, God the Spirit makes you alive. And in so doing, he capacitates your mind. So we see in 1 Corinthians 2:16, you have the mind of Christ because God the Spirit has given you that mind. Your attitude, your disposition has changed. So the natural man in 1 Corinthians 2 does not understand the things of God because he can't. They're spiritually discerned or taught. So anthropologically, this is why the Bible matters so much and a biblical anthropology matters so much. Anthropologically, you have to get back to the reality that your thoughts come from your immaterial mind, and your mind, if it is unregenerate, it is broken, corrupted, defiled. It is Ephesians 4, 17 through 20, that small passage right through there. It is darkened. It lacks understanding. There is no pill that you can take to renew or transform your mind. Let's just have absolute clarity. Psychedelics are not going to change the mind. What are they doing? Well, they are affecting the way that the mind expresses itself. So there's another nuance here before I go full on into the symptom treatment of a psychedelic. Let me add one more layer that I think is really important to understand as a Christian. Nowhere in the Bible are you encouraged to use mind-altering or mood-altering medications simply for the sake of altering your mood. In fact, I think there can be a strong case that's made that intoxication in the scripture, so everyone knows that intoxication with alcohol is sin. So if you're inebriated, you're using alcohol to the point of inebriation, that's a sin. That's easy to prove. It's harder to prove what level is that, but it's easy to prove that inebriation is a sin. Okay, Ephesians 5, verse 18, do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't be controlled by substances like wine, but be filled with God's Spirit. Be controlled by Him. Have a Spirit-led, guided, filled, controlled day. I do think there's significant problems for a person that is seeking to use any substance, to include a psychedelic, to get high, to trip, to do whatever you call that. And in the Bible, there are woes that are given to individuals that seek inebriation. Proverbs 23, verse 30, woe to those that linger over the wine. Or hedonism in 1 Corinthians 15, 32, let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we all die. That harkens back to Exodus and Mount Sinai and the hedonism of the false worship of the golden calf. Hedonism is not commended as something desirable for the Christian. So think, like, when you zoom out, there is no place in Scripture where you're going to find that inebriation is to be sought after, that inebriation in and of itself is commendable. You're never going to find that. You're going to find warnings against it, and primarily for alcohol. But I think Ephesians 5, you see a broader principle, which is being controlled by substances. So the psychedelic, I think, to be fair, most are not taking psychedelics and PTSD for the sake of the high, but you do got to be very candid that that trip that is part of the intoxication of using the psychedelic, that's highly problematic. And as a believer, you got to be very careful as you think that through. So will psychedelics actually help PTSD? I do think they can help treat symptoms. I'm sure that you could take Ibogaine and go to Mexico and feel temporal relief. But that's like taking Tylenol whenever you need serious root canal work. It's like, yeah, you could take the Tylenol, but you really need to deal with the root canal. If PTSD is a matter of fear, if it's a matter of anxiety, if it's a matter of regret, if it's a matter of thoughts that you're having trouble controlling, then guess what? That is not an outer man issue. That is an inner man issue. So as a believer, you got to say this could actually potentially distract from dealing with the root issue. You're not helping. You are distracting us from what we should be focused on. PTSD and psychedelics, if we're talking about PTSD, not as a concussion, not as an injury of your brain, but something that you witnessed and there was no physiological damage through that, then guess what? That is most likely, I'm going to say 99% sure that if your body wasn't damaged in that traumatic moment, that that is an inner person issue. And if you're just taking medication, you're not going to deal with the inner person issues. So can a believer use psychedelics? Well, I'm just going to be honest with you. I think the answer should be, if you're just using psychedelics for the point of tripping and using it for a high, then absolutely not. Like, no, that is condemned everywhere. I'd encourage you to be gracious, because many of the veterans are seeking relief, but you'll also see many veterans are unbelievers seeking relief as well. So they're looking for all the help they can get, but they're not turning to the God of all comfort that can bring the actual relief that they're going to find. So I am going to be gracious toward veterans that are seeking help with their PTSD, but the reality is, as a Christian, should you seek out a psychedelic for the help with PTSD? I would say no. You should seek out good biblical counseling. You should focus on renewing your thoughts. You should spend time putting off being renewed and putting on. You should take thoughts captive. You should get engaged in your local church and use your gifts to serve the Lord. I even think that scientifically, the use of psychedelics is speculative at best. So my two cents is that Rogan is highly influential and Trump is pushing the FDA. So if you're a conservative watching this unfold, just notice it doesn't seem to be science-driven. It seems to be politically driven. So be careful with that. And if you want to do more reading, there was an article on Scientific American where it said that Ibogaine, a psychedelic, is seen as dangerous. It's a Schedule 1 drug, the most dangerous category, and illegal in the country. What scientists do know is that Ibogaine can be toxic to the heart, the physiological heart. So as a Christian, you're just thinking biblically that you're looking for something in psychedelics that veterans who are unsaved are looking for something in psychedelics that I don't think they're ever going to find. This is the centrality of Christ and true, genuine change. What does the unsaved veteran need? The gospel, and then a expert biblical counselor to walk them through the scripture and help them appropriate the truths of God's sufficient word to the difficult challenges that they're facing. I know that's a lot for one episode. Thank you guys for bearing with me. I need to pray for us, and let's be done for today. Lord, thank you for the fact that your word is sufficient. And I do pray for the veterans that are suffering deeply, that they would find genuine and meaningful answers, that this idea of treating the outer man as fixing the problem, it wouldn't be something that distracts and causes further pain. Lord, would you allow for your word to shine forth in the darkest of places, like those that have experienced significant trauma and are looking for answers? Lord, allow us as biblical counselors to be skilled to use your word as the source and authority to help. Lord, give us grace in this, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.